Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Stevie B!
What's up, Brad?
Hey, man. So, you know, we are taking a little bit of a break from a full episode this week.
Are we?
We are. We are. Our network said it was okay. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
That's I didn't ask.
But it's our first week off in 2.5 years. So
yeah. So but you know what? We get a lot of requests for, you know, because when we interview guests, we talk about their pasts and their histories, and people often ask, like, well, what about you guys? And that always lends us to that always lets us know that they haven't listened from the beginning.
There you go. Because we did a great podcast about kind of where you're from, where I'm from, and just about us. And it was always informative for people.
Right. The first two episodes of which at the time was called the Stone Cold and Jackal podcast, was the first episode we talked about Steve. And then the second episode we talked about me with a bunch of hijinks, you know, to flesh it out. But so we thought we would repost episode one.
Okay. Let's do it. That's awesome.
Boy,
is it different?
It's a little more high energy, you know.
Is it?
Well, because I think
no way.
Can you imagine?
No, I didn't. I thought it would be that we only got better, not worse.
Well, no, I think we did get better, but because we had never accomplished talking for an hour uninterrupted for entertainment's sake.
Sure.
I think we really jazzed ourselves up to do that.
Please don't use the words jazz. You can't do that now.
So, I mean, it's not entirely different from what we do now, but you can tell that I don't want to say we're pushing because we're not, but we were it was a first performance. We remember, and there was an engineer watching us because we rented a studio to do it. We weren't recording it ourselves.
Oh, that's right.
We were in a studio.
That's right.
And so we had an audience.
Oh, yeah.
An audience of one.
And
I think because it was our first, we didn't want to look like amateurs. So we wanted to try to be funny and try to be high energy.
Oh, gosh. Now I'm nervous.
Anyway. Yeah.
Now I'm really nervous.
But it is amazing. You know, when we started, we were renting a studio and a pretty costly studio, like for each episode.
Yeah,
and
it was.
We didn't know how to do it otherwise.
Yeah.
So you know, before we create a whole nother hour of podcasting, talking about sharing our first hour of podcasting.
Yes.
We wanted to share that with you all. And, you know, you get to hear Steve's entire background. And so that's kind of fun. And, yeah, just kind of a nice little throwback, but we hope everyone's enjoying the beginning of 2021. 2021. Yep. Is that how you say it?
2021.
2021.
But we appreciate you guys being with us. So enjoy episode number one.
Mm.
It's the Stone Cold and Jackal Show.
Really? That's what you came up with for our intro?
Welcome to episode one of the Stone Cold and Jackal Show.
This is crazy, man.
This is it.
If I didn't have these headphones on, I'd give you a hug because I don't like you hugging me normally, but I'm so excited to finally do this. We've been talking about this for so long.
Hey, first of all, I'm Bradford Anderson. For anybody that is listening to us that has no idea what we're talking about, who are Stone Cold?
You're probably not listening to us.
Right. Who are you?
Steve Burton.
Look at you.
That's right.
Oh, God. When he says his name, it gets so exciting. So we do this. We do this live show, which kind of is why we're here. We do a show on the road, and now we wanted to do a show in your homes.
Well, first of all, the show on the road is amazing. Right?
My favorite part is saying your name. Because when I say your name, people go crazy.
You're so dumb.
It's amazing. It kind of like feeds me, you know, because so I go out first generally and I say, and now here's Steve Burton. I don't use that voice necessarily. Sometimes I use that voice. But when I say, God, it's like in Lion King when the hyenas say Mufasa. And they go, woo, Steve Burton, woo.
No, is that, was that North Carolina?
Yeah.
All the people in North Carolina?
Yeah, oh, that's right. We did this great show in Charlotte. Oh, Charlotte, man. We're coming back to you sometime.
Yeah, but, it's amazing.
So here we are. We're doing this.
Yeah.
because we like to entertain. We are entertainers, aren't we, Steve?
We are, but most importantly, we like each other.
That's true.
And that's why we're doing this and you know, coming back to the show. And you're back on the show, and we're back on the road.
It's
awesome. We have a, you know, our comedy show, which is amazing, and we've been all over the country, and we're doing
all over
ton more dates.
We may even go international. People want us to come to Canada so bad. They do.
I guess that's international. Yeah, I was thinking
it
Europe.
It is.
I was hoping Europe.
Well, you need a passport now.
I have one.
I know.
I finally got one after 20 years.
American Steve has a passport.
I know.
Now.
Yeah, that's my new nickname.
Get you some stamps, buddy.
That's right.
That's right.
Give me a stamp.
No, I would love to go to Europe. I don't know if they care about us.
No,
in
they
Europe.
Don't. Not at all.
So we've been going around having a really good time and
super
like
time.
Making it, you know, we love to go out and talk to people 100%. And have them ask us questions. But most of all, we love to get up in front of you guys and have a good time.
Absolutely.
And we understand that not everybody can make it to our live shows.
Right.
Because we can't go. I always love it when we get requests to go, come play. My grandmother has this great tent in her backyard.
Yeah.
Your band should play there. Yeah. You and Steve should play my grandmother's tent in the backyard in Watusi.
You guys should play right after the bingo game.
Right. And as much as I love tents, I love tents.
I know you
and
do.
And I love grandma's backyards.
Just sleep in a tent on the road.
Yeah, that would help.
That would help.
So but we can't make it to every tent in every backyard. So we understand that you guys can't come out. So we wanted to bring the show to you. And that's what this podcast is kind of about. You know what? I'm not sure podcast is the medium for you because they can't see your face.
What do you mean?
Everyone's always told.
I thought we were taping this thing.
Well, maybe a little bit, but everyone's always told me I have a face for radio. And
I couldn't agree more.
Which is funny that I ended up on a soap opera. It makes no sense.
Yeah, right.
It makes no sense. See, you have a face for TV, so I feel bad that the people aren't seeing you. That I feel so bad.
Dude,
I get to look at you. I get to look at you the whole time. My job here is to talk and look at you.
We're staring at each other, which is very uncomfortable.
Oh, it says you. It's making my life.
It's hot in here, and I'm sweating. And
yeah, I'm cool as a cucumber. You're all worked up. And it's because of your proximity to me.
Why do you say cucumber?
Because it's one of my favorite vegetables. It's so versatile. Feta cheese, tomatoes, onions, Greek. Oh, boy.
Oh, there it goes.
Come on.
Keep it clean, kids.
That's right.
We are.
It's funny. In podcasts, you can say anything you want, but we're kind of a family. We're family entertainment.
Well, yeah. I mean, look. Here's the deal.
Uh-oh. He's getting serious now.
Yeah. People know us on the show.
Yeah.
They kind of get to know us a little bit through social media.
Sure.
You know. But
we put our best selves on social media.
Everybody does, don't they?
I think so.
I think that's the idea, right?
Well, not everybody.
Right. So, you know, they're going to kind of get a sneak behind the
behind
the curtain of us and how we act. And,
right.
You know, it's funny because when we started doing these appearances years ago, I'll just go into a quick story.
Oh, please. I love stories. Everybody cuddle up.
It was
Stevie's got a story.
It was it was in Jersey. It was a club called Rascals.
Ooh.
That burnt down. That's messed up, dude.
Well, no,
you didn't even give me a chance to finish.
I don't know. Fires aren't funny. They're not funny.
They're not.
But the way you said it was funny.
But right. So I went, and you know, this is when we first started doing the comedy.
Yeah.
You know, venues.
Sure.
For our appearances. Before it was, you know, Sears or somewhere else, and you know, you can bleep Sears out twice now. we go sit down and sign autographs. It just wasn't
right. You'd sit next to the power tools and be 100%. Like, "Hey, Steve Burton from General Hospital."
No, they'd come up and ask where to get the credit card application.
There you go.
So I'm like, "There's got to be something better than this." So we started working with Linda and doing these comedy venues. And it was kind of more personal and, you know, Q&A, and fans love asking questions. And so I'm like, you know, this is a comedy club. Maybe I'll, maybe I'll write some material.
I could be funny.
And do like 10 minutes, you know,
before
the Q&A.
Sure,
and,
sure, sure.
So I get up there. I'm like, hey, how's everybody doing? And, you know, happy, you know, I'm you know, because I unlike Jason, I do have a personality.
I can attest that you do have a smile.
Yes.
It's a little crooked.
Thank you.
Braces weren't big in the 80s.
Yeah, no. Headgear. Headgear and a helmet. So I get up there, and it was dead silent. I mean, it was 400 people, dude.
Wow.
Dead silent. And I'm like, why are you smiling?
Oh, man. Why are you smiling?
Yeah, that's what they're asking me. Why are you smiling?
Why is Steve?
That's not Jason.
Oh, man.
just stare at us. I'm like, oh no, I got to get out of Jersey now.
That's amazing.
But we had fun.
Yeah,
anyway,
don't so. Angry anyway, mobs in Jersey. You got to run.
I don't even
from.
Know why. Why'd I tell that story?
Because you tell stories. It's part of who you
but
are.
But we're having fun, you know, at these comedy shows, and you know, now we actually do a show, which is cool, and it's different everywhere we go, which
it's
is
true.
Awesome.
It's true. Well, obviously, like different crowds give us different energy, but we also bring, you know, a lot of guys go on the road and just do Q&As, which is great. Because those are fun.
Sure.
But we always bring something original. You know, I usually start the show with something original that I've created generally just for that
yep.
tour, which can be eccentric, can just be
it
fun.
It was, dude, the first one was funny.
Well, interpretive dance, people don't
know.
Okay, don't,
for, people I don't even know what that is.
People are not expecting interpretive dance when they go to a soap opera Q&A.
No.
And it was awesome to see, like, because that was part of the fun of it, though, is I'd get up there and I was wearing the Patient Six mask. And the Mad World song would start, the Franco song. And I could just tell, like, people wanted to laugh, but they weren't sure if I was, like, taking it totally serious.
I know.
And then
I didn't know what to do.
Oh, that's what I love. I love that anticipation so funny, of, like, dude. what's gonna happen here? Is this dangerous? Who is that? I think it's Bradford, but it surely can't be Steve because I remember him looking stronger than this.
That guy has not done a push-up. Well, whoever's dressed like Patient Six has never worked out.
Has anybody said anything to you, like, when they see you in real life? What do they say? Do you look bigger on TV? Do you look smaller on TV? You look better in person? You look worse in person? What's the one that you get all the time?
I thought you were taller. And I'm not that short.
I hear Maurice gets that a lot, too. And
you're going to end up in the freaking river, buddy, if you keep that up.
Well,
Sonny Pacino?
Because I always get, oh, you're actually pretty, you know, you're better looking in person. On the show, you look terrible. Well, no, I'm
is
not,
this true?
I'm not trying. I'm,
is this true?
Well, which part? No, I'm not sure about trying to put myself down here, but most people think that I look better in real life than I do on the show.
That's a great compliment.
Except... It's always
except for you're on TV.
Well, it's always phrased like, "Oh my gosh, you're actually kind of handsome," and because well, it's the same thing. Like it's a you know like girls get it worse than us. And every girls get it so much worse than us. I mean, they have a tougher
it's
time
tough,
in this business.
Dude, it's tough.
But a lot of people on the show say, "Oh my gosh, you're so skinny." Like people, they meet girls when I go do events with girls. People always say, "Oh my gosh, you look so skinny." Which and I know that those people in their mind are thinking that they're complimenting them.
Sure,
but the thing that we all hear is, oh, that means I look like crap on
like
TV.
Eat a sandwich.
Yeah. So anyway.
High def killed us, by the way.
That's true.
When the cameras went high def, it just well, – I can never get my color right on my makeup because half the time I look orange.
Or pink, or just a nice shade of – thank you, sir. Like a tomato, like a some
like
sort
a,
of
– like a tomato that's not fully ripened.
There you go. No, sometimes you, back
you
in the
bastard.
Day you looked fully ripened.
You
know.
I remember poor Chuck Torres, I was going to – my head was going to blow up. They were like, why? That guy's having a heart attack right now. His head is so red that we got to go call 911 right now.
Well,
oh,
there was, I remember certain days where like you had like a shirtless scene and
oh,
you
gosh,
were like,
really?
I'm going to carb starve myself for
okay.
Like, for
never have I 20, said those two words together in my entire life.
Okay, fine. But it's like a 20-day thing. And then like right before you get up, you'd start eating these things and then do push-ups to like swell your muscles.
It works.
Yeah, I guess
it does. I know. It's not healthy for you.
Yeah.
And I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
that's right.
But yeah.
But it was fun for me because I didn't do that.
Because you just, you know, I'm starving myself. And well, I'm not really starving myself. I'm just literally, I ate halibut and asparagus.
Like, sounds delicious.
For 10 days. That's like what I ate.
Wow.
And then you're eating a freaking donut
in
front of
me.
Yeah,
so good.
You
so
bastard.
Good. Oh, I love to tease you. Well, see, no one ever, that's the great thing about being me and being my character is that. No one expects me to look good. I wasn't hired to look good.
Yeah, but you were working out for a while, and you're like, I remember this.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm kind of getting in some shape here. I don't know if I should do this.
I thought it might actually hurt me.
I think this would hurt me.
It's not on brand for me to look good.
You can't be jacked. More jacked than Jason.
More jacked than Jason.
Look at that.
Look at that. Jack and Jason. What?
No, don't start your own nursery rhymes.
All right. Well,
Jack and Jason went up the hill.
Yeah, that's no good.
That's so stupid, man.
I think so. On this podcast, we are gonna maybe have some guests because as much
100% we're gonna have guests.
Because as much as I like talking to you, which I do.
Well, dude, we could do 100 of these shows and never need a guest. But
But we like other people.
We like other people, and I think it's going to be really interesting to get a, you know, to be able to interview our coworkers.
Totally.
You know, we're always going to interview people differently than magazines would.
I think so.
Right? Because we're there. We're in the trenches with them. We all work together. Yeah. We all trust each other. And,
sure.
And we're going to be able to get some great interviews. I don't know who yet, but, you know, we're going to have fun doing it.
Who doesn't want to talk to us?
I don't know. Who doesn't want 100 degrees in here.
Who doesn't want to be in a confined room with Steve Burton?
Bradford Anderson.
That's true. Although we do have a couple friends that are claustrophobic. How's that going
to
work?
That's out? I don't know. I don't know. We're gonna have to find out.
Yeah, because no, we, you know, at some time we might interview the man himself, Mr. Mo.
He'll do it for sure.
Yeah. You think he'd be in a room this small?
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Okay, good.
He'll be fine.
Right. But so for this one, I thought.
First we got to talk about GH 55 years, right?
55 years.
You got to mention that. You have to.
It's pretty incredible.
It started in, what, 1963, April
1963. 1st. 1963. You were 10.
I was just getting out of high school, and Bradford's a beep. It's always the old jokes.
Yeah, well, it's so
easy. I don't
easy.
Even know if they're that funny.
Well, they are to me.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So you, I'm an audience of one.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know,
1963,
it's been great, man. Being back on the show has been amazing. Just to be back with my friends and family there. And,
yeah.
And, you know, be back at, we're working together again. So it's.
Yeah.
It's,
so you did, cool. I mean, you did go away for a bit. How did coming back come about? Because I got to tell you, when I found out you were coming back, it like. Something's.
Oh, here we go. Cue the music.
I was going to say something swelled within me, and that sentence just sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. Something welled up. No, I don't know. I was very happy.
Thank you.
I was very happy because not only did it mean that I might have some more to do at GH, which I love being there, of course, but it also just meant like for, you know, I love the people over there. I love all the people and, you know, in the cast and the crew and the administration. I love that building. And I knew you being there was a good thing for the building. It was a very special day for me. I'm sure not as special as it was for you, but a special day for me.
Well, dude, it was amazing. You know, I left. I needed the break personally.
Right. After you did the Iditarod in Alaska, what happened?
I know you left
the show to be a dog sled racer. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I left for about 5 years, came back, and, you know, it's interesting how it happened.
Is it?
And I'll make it's actually very funny, and I'll make it really short. Like,
oh, more short jokes?
No.
I love it, a good short joke.
No. So, you know, because we talked. You know, I started my nutrition company, which was a beast to do.
Right.
And, you know, that was amazing. And I had left Y&R in December. And I honestly worked harder on launching that company than I've ever worked in my life. It was just like crazy. 16-hour days.
Sure.
It was amazing. So we launched that. And... And Frank and I really never, you know, had a chance to.
Frank Valentini.
Yeah, Frank Valentini had a chance to talk, you know. But so I got nominated for an Emmy.
Woohoo!
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Didn't you win that one, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was great. So
yeah, look at you go.
I ended up.
I got a fistful of losses, just so you know.
A fistful of losses.
One, two, three, four, five losses. A fistful.
High five loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a great night. I got to see a lot of people. Won the Emmy. Amazing. You go in the back and you do all the press.
Sure.
You know, they take you back there and you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting for me to hear this because I don't know how it works.
Yeah. Then pay attention. So you go back and you actually talk to people about your win.
Sure. Yeah.
About winning.
Oh, man. That sounds amazing.
About being a winner.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I want to be a winner.
And the winner isn't.
Oh.
Bradford Anderson. No. So I go back, you do all the press, and then someone kind of escorts you.
You're a wiener.
You're a wiener. Out to the front. So it was at the Pasadena Civic Center, which was actually cool because it's a theater and it was fun. It was like the old days.
Right.
So we go around front. This escort takes me around front. And literally, I have the Miami, and I'm about to walk in, and they close the doors. And I go, well, I got to go back to my seat. And they're like, no, the Basset Hounds are coming in right now.
And that wasn't a metaphor. There were actual Basset Hounds.
No, there's like 300, you know, rescue Basset Hounds.
Oh, wow.
So they all ran down the, you know, the aisle and get up on stage, and they did this thing. And I'm literally standing outside.
Sure.
with this girl who was escorting me and
with your Emmy in your hand.
With my Emmy in my hand, and this guy comes up and, you know, it's kind of oversized suit and, you know, really red.
Like, so you got
like more.
You're like my brother, my long lost brother,
Dad. So he was more red than me.
Oh wow!
Okay. Right, and I'm like, man, who is what is going? Who is this guy? So he goes, hey, congratulations.
Hey,
congratulations. Literally, I go, this is, I'm on Punk'd. There's right. a hidden camera show. Right. I'm just like looking at this girl, like, who? What is?
Do you know this guy?
Congratulations. Yeah. He goes, you got an agent. And I'm like, this is a joke.
But I got an Emmy.
No. Yeah.
Look at this.
You mean you want to be my agent?
Right.
I have an Emmy.
Right.
So I'm like, actually, no, I don't have an agent. He goes, oh, my name's Bobby Moses. Here's my card. Bobby. And that was it. Right. Awesome. It was like 2 minutes.
Right.
And I had talked to you.
We've been handed a lot of business cards in our
sure.
life. Right. We
sure.
get handed a it's lot
just,
of business cards.
You know, I just didn't think this guy was
right.
an agent.
Sure.
You know, and I had been talking to you kind of about get back in the game a little
sure.
bit and auditioning.
Yeah, we did a self-tape together. It was so sweet.
Yes, it was amazing. Self-tape. I don't know if people know what that is.
When you tape yourself instead of going in to meet with...
a selfie tape.
Yeah.
So you can put your audition on tape now or whatever the heck it is, digital.
I live in Northern California now. I do it all the time.
So, you know, we'd been talking about just me getting back in the game, and I needed somebody to kind of understand that I lived in Nashville. And
So
I'm on the plane, actually, to... come back to California because we were doing our Port Chuck tour.
That's right.
In the cargo van.
The cargo
that's another
van.
Story.
The cargo van we got locked out of.
Oh,
yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So you were on the plane.
So anyway, I'm on the plane. I call Mo. I say, hey, Maurice, who, you know, your old agent, your last agent, you think they'd be good for me? He's like, no, I don't think so. I go, well, who's your agent now? He goes, oh, you got to call him. I go, really? He goes, yeah. I go, who is he? He goes, Bobby Moses.
Come on.
I'm like, no way.
Come on.
I said, are you being serious right now that you just said your agent's Bobby Moses? So I said, call Bobby Moses and ask him if he'll meet with me for an hour because we had like a 2-hour window. And then playing in Pasadena.
In a van.
So literally I met him. He goes, hey, Steve, how are you? And what's going on? And this and that. And literally he called Frank that day and we made a deal within 2 weeks.
It's amazing.
So it was amazing.
So Bobby's
good. It usually doesn't go that easy when it comes to negotiations
and getting back
on the show. And it's been fantastic, and it's just been great being back, and you know, coming back as patient six was pretty interesting.
Masks look good on you. Well, because you know what it is. If,
just a mask, buddy.
What was it?
It was a hoodie. It was some type of ski
hoodies
mask.
Hoodies aren't that big of a deal.
I'm sitting there in a freaking wheelchair
okay,
with a hoodie, a ski mask, and cataract glasses.
Oh, and you run pretty hot as you.
Yeah, and cataract glasses.
Yeah. Okay.
But I got those on eBay.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Yeah.
Very
supposedly
good.
Betty White wore them in episode of Golden Girls.
Blue blockers? Just blue blockers? That's amazing. And then you the mask would look like a kind of a Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah,
thing.
Dude. I mean, what for what? That's
I don't know.
I know.
Didn't you bite somebody?
No, I didn't bite anybody, but that's what my answer. That's the answer.
Oh.
That I got to go, guys, I'm dying over here.
Got some thirst.
No, I just said, man, I'm dying. Can you ask why I'm in the mask? Mm. The stage manager, I go, Craig, please, can you call? Can you just ask the booth why I'm in a mask?
Because
I can barely breathe.
Because it highlights your eyes, Steve Burton.
With my cataract glasses. But I could barely breathe. So he's like, what? Steve wants to know why the mask. Casey... I don't know, bite somebody?
Yeah,
it was just like, you know the booth, right? You know that came through the booth. They're like,
let's find a motivation.
Steve wants to know why the mask.
It's just like, they're just looking at each other.
Tell him just in case he bites somebody? That's good. It makes sense.
Well, yeah, so...
I remember when Patient Six was introduced, they had a guy that wasn't you playing it because he didn't have to talk, so they didn't, you know.
Sure, for a couple days, yeah.
Yeah, and... poor guy, like he didn't. I don't think he knew who he was supposed to be, but I think he still had the sunglasses on at that point. Which obviously, because if you, So, but it was fun for me to try to explain to this guy, like, do you have any idea who you
do? You know who you are.
Do you know who you are?
Well, I mean, I didn't know.
That's true.
We didn't know who I was.
That's right. Patient Six. There was
because I heard all kinds of different things.
I was there for that. You were almost Andy Morgan.
and I heard Nicholas Cassadine.
Oh, really?
Well, it was on the internet, so it had
to be
true.
Well, and everything you see.
So it had to be true.
Oh, I love the internet.
Oh, man. Oh, man. It's the best.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's the best.
It is. It
it's
is.
It's the greatest.
So now you're back.
So now we're back.
I'm back.
We're back.
I'm kind of back.
Stone Cold the Jackal are back. Yeah, we just had some good scenes.
Yeah, we did.
We got a lot of nice comments and compliments of the ones in the holding cell.
Thanks for saving me from... the evil Swiss people.
Yeah, because
if you're going to get arrested, the best place to get arrested is in Switzerland.
Absolutely.
And they kept the line that I added.
About the food?
About the food. Yeah. You like sausage and strudel.
Oh, you love sausage.
Oh, well, strudel's delicious. Apple strudel, come
on. Love sausage.
Come on. Well, hey, I kind of wanted to hear about – I wanted to hear a little bit about where you came from because you always tell people that you're from Cleveland.
So, yeah.
But I've also heard like Indiana, Ohio. Like,
heard of.
Well, but then you ended up out here in high school, and so like I want people to know the actual path of Steve Burton, and I want to
Wow, that's a long show.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to like do the shortened version of this.
Okay, I'm curious though.
Well, I was born in Indianapolis.
Oh,
and then moved to Ohio. So born there, raised in Ohio.
For how long?
So I was in Indianapolis probably, I don't know, a year and a half.
Okay.
And then we actually spent a short, I think about a year out here in California when I was three or four.
Oh, wow.
And then we went to Ohio to live permanently for, you know, for until we moved.
Right.
So it wasn't permanently. But
so my, like your youth league sports days were in Ohio?
Everything's in Ohio, yeah.
Right. So what were your interests as a kid? What'd you do?
Just sports, man.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not like you were doing commercials in Cleveland.
No, not at all.
You were just sports. What were your sports?
Every sport.
Every sport.
I was
lacrosse,
except for that.
What?
No,
fencing.
That's you. That's East
fencing?
Coast, man.
Yeah.
No, fencing. I did. I learned how to fence actually for Romeo and Juliet.
Oh wow!
Yes.
Yes,
in high school.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Okay, so what? Like, did you have an awkward phase?
Of course, dude. Everybody does.
No, I know, but I just
what
like...
What do you mean?
Well, because I'm still waiting to get out of mine, so I'm curious.
You'll be out soon.
Thanks, buddy.
You'll be 60.
I'm open.
You'll be on Medicare by the time you're out.
I don't know. I'm just like... I'm trying to picture you as a kid, and the youngest image I have of you...
Is
like, you know, when you were a teenager and going to
yeah.
high school in Beverly Hills High, and you have the
out
cool,
of this world.
You have the cool hair already. I mean, you just look like.
Dude, I don't know if that was cool.
Well, I mean,
for the time,
1976, it was great.
No,
1988.
I graduated.
1988.
Yeah. So I know for a fact that my gold mullet was inspiration for Joe Dirt.
That's
no, I'm kidding, but it could have been for sure.
That's amazing.
So I'll make a long story short. I kind of always, I guess, you know, obviously I loved television.
Sure.
You know, growing up and, you know, Dukes of Hazzards and Chips and, you know, everything. Yeah. I'd watch a lot of TV. But my mom and dad were divorced basically when I was pretty young. And my dad went out to California.
Okay.
So he was the pioneer. He was like, he wanted to get the
freak. He was sifting for gold?
Freaking. He wanted to get out of the cold and get out of Indianapolis and get out of Ohio and just get out.
Sure.
And he came out here, hitchhiked out when he was like 19.
Wow.
And, you know, he just went to L.A. Community College and started, you know, doing – he was a DJ, a disc jockey.
That's why it's in your blood.
So he did that, you know, in Palm Springs and Vegas and a few other places. So when I was around, I don't know, 9, I started flying out to California to visit my dad.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? So it started when I was 9. I would fly out for a week by myself, which is crazy.
In the old days, you get a flight attendant that would like have to keep an eye on you. I remember flying by myself.
Then,
it was pretty badass back in the day.
It was. Yeah. Except
did
for
you
get the little wings?
Oh, except for the
No, I don't know. I think it was banned by that time. But
well, I mean, you couldn't get your fix then, poor guy. Nine-year-old Steve Burton smoking.
Freaking stogie, baby, when I'm 9. Boss. So, you know, every year it was great. My dad managed apartment buildings actually, we lived right down the street here, and he managed apartment buildings, and it was fun, obviously. And so every year we would add a week. So when I was 10, it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks,
sure,
4 weeks,
yeah,
5 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So really when I was about 14, my dad knew some people kind of who worked in the business.
Yeah.
So the greatest thing about that is that he knew what path to take without us basically getting screwed over.
Oh, okay,
right.
Sure.
There's
right.
Because people don't know
people
what to do when
kids,
they come here.
And people still do that. People are like, pay me $500 and I'll be your agent.
Yeah,
right.
5,000. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we actually, you know, Dramalog at that point was a magazine and they would have open calls. So there was a guy who lived in the building who took my headshot, and I went on a few open calls. And one was Explorers, the movie with Steven Spielberg. It was River Phoenix at the time, Ethan Hawke, and somebody else I can't remember. But I went to like three callbacks.
Wow,
you know, and I couldn't act, but whatever. So I went.
It's a work in progress. Steve.
Still is, still is, buddy, still is. So. That was cool, you know,
yeah.
and I kind of was like, oh, this is cool, and then the following year, was I 15? 15.
I can't imagine doing this when I was 15. That's crazy.
15, and then I moved out, and I made a difficult call, and I was out for 6 weeks, and I called my mom, and I said, I'm not coming home. So, and that was tough.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Tough, especially for her.
Well, sure.
You know,
because you were how old?
15.
Wow.
So I said, I'm not coming back.
Wow.
You know, and all
the sports teams in Cleveland, Ohio
cried, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting, man, because there's things that happen in life. My mom had been remarried at the time, and the guy wasn't always the greatest guy. And, you know, and still to this day, I remember, you're not going to do anything out there.
Oh, man.
Right? One of them. Like, you're not going to do anything. And what's your dad done? And this and that.
Oh,
and, you know, and I'm like, great. And it's just crazy how it sticks in your head, right?
Oh, sure.
So
was that motivation or was that like?
I was too young, man. You know, because people ask all the time, like I have this conversation with Maurice because his son's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah.
And he's starting to get in the business and he's like, man, didn't you have nerves, you know, going on auditions.
Yeah,
and sure, you're going to have nerves, but
my dad
was always great about, hey, you didn't get it. Who cares?
Right.
Let's go play basketball. Let's go to the beach. Let's go do,
sure.
You know, it wasn't life or death of.
Well, and he wasn't giving you responsibility to, like, you know, some kids that are working actors, their parents can't work because they have to go around their kid's schedule.
Right.
And so there's pressure on these kids sometimes.
Sure.
To book jobs, to pay for the families. That's something.
Yeah, I know. That's tough.
That pressure when you're a kid. That's
tough.
That's a lot.
And it was a blessing because my dad was, you know, he managed apartment buildings. So he had freedom to take me on auditions and stuff. So
yeah, that's awesome.
You know, I did a commercial workshop. That's how I got my first agent.
Yeah.
Did some commercials, a lot of commercials, but I went on about 50 auditions before I got my first one.
For commercials. Sure. Yeah.
So
what was the product?
Coke was the first one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was awesome.
Were you in that huge line over a field sharing Cokes with everybody?
No, I was in a telephone booth drinking a Coke.
That's awesome.
Do they have telephone booths anymore?
I don't know. I wish they did.
So I did that and then from that commercial agent, they have the commercial side. Then they have the theatrical side.
Sure, yeah.
Which sends you out on a TV and movie audition. So I was able to get with them. And, you know, just started auditioning, man.
Right.
Just, you know how
And you
it
were
goes.
still in high school.
Yeah, 16.
Wow.
I was 16 years old and going to high school, going to Beverly Hills High, which was crazy. Coming from Ohio. It literally was like the show 90210.
Right. Because
I was from Ohio and all of a sudden, you got everybody driving Porsches and BMWs for their sweet 16s.
Crazy town.
And then I actually tested for 90210.
Oh, wow.
You know, so.
Which role?
It was actually for the kid, the youngest kid. The first season, he was a blonde kid, and he ended up dying off the show or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But he was on for a season or two. But, you know, just auditioned a lot, and then I ended up getting out of this world.
That's awesome.
You know, it's amazing, dude. I could not act at all. It was amazing.
You had that hair. I mean,
the hair was beautiful.
Iconic. It was just stunning.
The hair was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was definitely the gold helmet. It was amazing. So,
how was that natural? Did you treat it back then? Were you a 15-year-old like putting lemon juice in your hair?
Well, first of all, I surfed a lot.
It's
and you know what?
It's so hot.
Don't
it's so hot.
Don't even make fun of sun in. because Sonnen was a big part of my growing up in the Midwest.
It didn't work for me very well because my hair was too dark. My hair became orange.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, you know, I had a little concoction I used to use on my hair.
Toxic. Completely toxic.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
But it was good.
It was good.
But it looked good.
It looked good.
Google it, you guys. It's amazing. I had my little thing I did.
What little thing?
I just added like it. I had my little formula.
Oh, your little hair routine.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Okay.
Come on. You can't get that natural gold like that with that little secret formula.
Well, the best part is the unnatural look of it. I mean, because then, do you know what I mean? That's the.
Dude, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, what the hell was I thinking?
Right.
But I'm like, this looks good.
And didn't you have, who was your acting teacher at Beverly Hills High?
It was actually, it was not John Engel.
Oh, was it?
Is that what you're asking
me? I thought it was. No.
He left a year before I came.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so John Engel.
Was he on GH at that point or no?
No.
No, because he came on much later, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because they had the first, David Lewis was the first Edward Quartermain.
Right.
And then John Engel came, but he left the year before I got there.
Okay. But you did Romeo and Juliet in high school?
I did Romeo and Juliet in high school.
Right.
And I did one other professional play. There's actually a theater on the campus.
Oh, wow.
It's an Equity Theater.
Okay, yeah.
99 seats, and I did a play there, and Romeo and Juliet, and yeah, dude, it was the worst.
Oh, man, really?
It's the worst, bro.
Why?
I mean, listen.
As long as you're earnest saying those words, you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, look, Shakespeare's tough anyway.
Sure.
You know, and then the fact that I couldn't really act, and it was just, you know, and you're wearing tights, and, you know.
So it was great for everybody but you.
It's great.
Wow, look at that 18-year-old in tights. That's awesome. Fencing. Look at him.
Fencing. I did learn how to fence,
he knows how to wield a blade, that
Yes,
one.
He does.
Wow. So, and then...
Is that a blade in his pocket? Or his dance belt or whatever the heck they make you
freaking
wear?
Yeah, you wear a dance belt.
That's the worst...
Oh, it is the worst.
...thing in the world.
Oh, man.
Listen, I know you're a big theater guy.
Yeah.
And you know...
Yeah,
You love dancing around.
There's been a lot of dance belts in my life.
Dude, what the freak?
I've had to wear dance belts on GH at times.
Huh?
Yeah, they've given me dance because I've done a fair amount of dancing.
What?
For dancing.
Get the freak out of here.
I know.
Dude, that is the worst thing I've ever.
It is not comfy. It is not comfy. Well, it's basically.
That's enough to make me cry.
Well, it's basically an athletic supporter. Like, it's like you, I'm sure you work cups.
Up your butt.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
That's
not normal, dude.
But it's crazy that the thong is more comfortable than the brief.
Gosh.
I'm telling you, the thong is more comfortable than the brief.
No, it's not, dude.
It's the lesser of two evils.
Well,
is what it is.
Just give me some freaking Speedos or something, please. Romeo and Speedos.
Well, did you ever like in the 80s, 90s? Did you ever have a Speedo like phase, or were you always like in board shorts?
Board shorts.
Okay,
but I may have taken a few pictures in Speedos.
Oh, sure.
Of course you did. You ten.
Yeah, there you
God.
Go. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, okay. So
anyway,
and then when did how
this is
how
boring.
Come now, on. How soon did the game to GH come about?
Okay, so yeah, so I did Out of This World and GH. That was 91. So Out of This World was like 87, 88, 89.
Okay.
Then
how many episodes of that do you do?
I did, I don't know, probably 40.
Oh wow!
Yeah, no money.
Oh wow.
Like,
okay.
No money.
Wow.
So how Out of This World started was, it was at a time NBC wanted to do the new prime time at 7:30. It was this huge campaign where they tried to start prime time earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was Out of This World. It was Charles in Charge.
Sure.
It was a few other ones. Small Wonder, I don't know.
Right.
And but that didn't work.
No.
So syndication was kind of catching on then,
becoming
bigger. And they and Out of This World, you know, they said, "Hey, go syndicate it," and that's what they did, and it was cool, man. I was living the dream, right?
Well, yeah,
you know, you're 16, 17 years old on a TV show. It was amazing,
awesome. Got
with
that
all the Donna Pascal and Doug McClure, who was their Virginian.
Oh wow!
Back in the day, and Joe Alasky, who's passed away, and he did all the voices for Looney Tunes. He went on to do. He was a huge voice actor. He was awesome. Maureen Flanagan was the lead, and Christina Nigra, and we just had a lot of fun, man. We were kids, you know.
Just, that's awesome.
It was great. So I did that, and then I never really wanted to audition for soaps because it had that
stigma.
It
had
that stigma.
Well, even back then, it did, eh?
Yeah. It was just like
even when it was the number one. Like, I mean, in the 80s, it was. You know, my wife was born in 81.
Oh, it was big.
And, like, I remember in her baby book it says the number one, you know, like, that was the number one show.
Yeah, daytime
I just told everybody how old my wife is. Sorry, honey.
Yeah.
Shoot.
She'll be calling you right now.
Yeah, right. Oops.
So, you know, the show was, I just like, I don't know. And I did audition one time for, tested against, actually, I think Sean Kanan, too, tested for it, Bold and Beautiful.
Was this before or after Karate Kid 3?
This was after Karate Kid 3. Okay. But actually, you know, I tested for, or was real close to getting Nick Newman on Young and the Restless. Josh Morrow, who's a good buddy of mine.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I auditioned.
But you didn't have the dimple in the chin, and that's where they really wanted that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
gosh, how hard it is to be you.
So I auditioned for General Hospital first as AJ.
Right, but you were too tall.
And I was, depends on which AJ, dude. That's messed up, man. He fell over somewhere just now. AJ number three. So I auditioned for AJ first, and I was too young looking at the time. And then Mark Teshner, they were bringing Jason back.
Mark Teshner, our casting director.
Mark Teshner, great, great casting director, and just a great guy all the way around. And
we should have him on the show.
Yes, we should, actually.
That'd be
That's
really
a great
fun.
Idea. He would have a blast.
Yeah, he would.
I mean, how he finds people is amazing to me. He finds these amazing actors, man.
He was there for John Stamos. He was there for Demi Moore. He was there for, I mean, right? Like, maybe not. Whatever. But no, there's a lot of people that have passed through the doors of GH that he has had.
Absolutely. I mean, he gave me the job.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a huge advocate for me. And you know, when I auditioned for Jason...
Jason,
it's funny because I wasn't tall enough.
Oh, that's funny.
This is the truth. This is now a true story.
Right, sure.
You are shorter than you look.
Yeah.
So it was Gloria Monty, who was, you know, the mad scientist, who was a genius.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But they would go to midnight all the time, and it was always just, you know, it was always so frenetic there.
Right.
When I went to audition, you know, you audition for Mark first, and they bring you back for the producers, and then you audition again for the producers, and you meet Gloria, and then we were going to screen test.
Right.
And it was me and two other guys. One guy was Eric Close. And, and you know, we were supposed to screen test. We came in one day, and Mark's like, no, you know, they're running late. Can you come back tomorrow? I'm like, and that doesn't really happen, right? It was the summer, too. And I said, yeah, we can come back, sure. Next day, hey, we're running late. We're not going to be able to test you. Seriously, could you come back again? And we're like, yeah.
And there's how many of you guys? Sure,
three of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? So we're like, yeah, we'll come back. So we come back, and I don't do it. It could have been literally four or five times. Mark probably knows. But we come back, and they say, Mark says, you guys aren't going to test. Huh? Yeah, you're not testing. We don't have time. So here's what's going to happen.
Well, and you've been running your lines every night when you get home, just like running them ad nauseum, just like
working. Just, and, you know, and screen tests are a little nerve-wracking anyway.
Well, sure, yeah.
So when I heard we weren't going to test, I was okay with it. He said, so what we're going to do is that during the next five, we're going to bring you downstairs. You're going to stand next to Gerald Hopkins.
Who was
AJ at the time.
Okay.
He was the first AJ. Stand next to him, face-to-face, do a 360, look at each other, and then that's it.
Wow.
You guys have auditioned enough.
They know what you can do.
And it was a recurring at the time. It wasn't contract.
Oh, okay, sure.
So,
best way to come in.
Totally. So we're about to go down, and Mark's like, hey, come here. I'm like, yeah, Mark. He's like, how tall are you? I said, 5'10". He's like, well, you need to be 6'1 in 5 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, what do you mean? Gloria wants someone who sees eye to eye with Gerald because what they were going to do is a Cain and Abel thing, right?
Oh, okay.
So she goes, she wants someone as tall as Gerald.
And what they ended up with was a Cain and Burton. John Cain and Burton?
Yeah, but that's down the road.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just couldn't pass
so
it
So Mark said, you got to be 6'1 in 5 minutes. Come in the bathroom. And I'm like,
what happens in the bathroom?
I said, calm down, buddy. Calm down.
I've heard stories. I've heard stories of this Hollywood place.
I don't want to part that bad, Mark. So literally, I had my Doc Martens on, and we were stuffing paper towels in my shoes.
Wow.
And sure enough, I came 5 minutes. I was 6'1", buddy.
That.
So I went down. We did it face to face. Went back upstairs.
Did you do like a scowl like wrestlers do, like, or boxers do before they
like
face
a face off?
Well, like did
a
you
fight?
Like, did you try to like a fight? Did you try to connect with them, or was it literally like, okay, just like, or was it like you got arrested and you just had to be up against the wall and do like, okay?
Well, I learned
turn.
How. That's how I learned my famous stare.
Oh yeah, that's
my
good.
One look. My it's one so look good. Started at my audition. Not really, but so anyway, he called us back. They, you know, they did the whatever,
right?
Screen test,
sure.
Not, and then we went upstairs and. He said, okay, guys, you can leave. And we were positioned where he told me to stay, and the other guys left. And he said, you got it.
Wow.
And I was like,
five,
yeah, baby.
Like 5 minutes, 10 minutes after you did the
yeah, like
turn?
15 minutes, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I got that job, went on reoccurring. Yeah. And then I ended up getting a contract, and that was kind of.
And that was 91?
Yeah, it was 91.
And you wore a sweater for how many years?
You son of a.
I love sweaters.
I know you do. You're from New Hampshire.
Oh, they're so
sweater
cozy.
Sweater and a pipe, and you're the happiest
man
in the world.
Rocking chair. It's awesome.
Yes. I wore sweaters a lot. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, they were great.
There's some Christmas ones.
V-neck sweaters?
No.
With the color around. With the on the V, there's like, because it's like a beige sweater, but then you have the color. No. You have the pop of color on the neck part. The V-neck part, maybe like a green, and then maybe a burgundy, a thin burgundy line next to the green.
No.
No? No? Okay. No.
It was a regular sweater. What just are those called?
Crew necks?
Yeah, crew neck sweater.
Okay. Yeah. I swear to God I saw you in a V-neck and a turtleneck somewhere.
I was definitely in a turtleneck somewhere.
Yeah.
But that wasn't on the show. Oh, I think so that good. Was in my real life.
I loved turtlenecks.
I went to my turtleneck
God,
phase.
I love turtlenecks. Because in New Hampshire, sometimes you had to wear turtlenecks because it was just a practical thing to do.
Sure.
But I
or
thought,
those dicky things, right?
The mock turtlenecks?
Yeah. The yeah. No, the thing that's just
the bullshit turtlenecks?
It's just that it was so weird, right? It's just the turtleneck to keep your neck warm.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
But that thing, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So you look like you're wearing a turtleneck, but there was no shirt.
I tried that once without the shirt.
I wasn't sure. I always thought they were a fashion thing, but maybe they were a practical thing, too.
Yeah, I mean, the Midwest people wore them because it was freezing.
Right.
So
I love
that. I know the East Coast is a little more.
Well, and when I was doing theater in high school, I like a black turtleneck was like the dramatic thing to wear. If you're a person that's into, you know, I want to be an actor, I'm going to wear a black turtleneck. But anyway, so
mine was turquoise blue.
Oh, that's a little less effective. So then you ditched the sweater for the leather jacket at some point.
Yeah, man. Come on. What happened.
Head injuries.
That's it.
All right.
Yeah, hit my head on a rock and I
really
woke
was
up.
A rock?
Yeah, I got ejected. AJ was driving drunk.
Of course he was.
And I got ejected and I hit a rock.
Right.
And that was it.
And that was it.
And then Jason.
Jason
was born.
I can't say the name without like
why are you putting a lisp on it?
Well, no, it's
Jason.
It's just the excitement.
Jason.
Because whenever we travel a lot together and anytime someone sees you, it's like from across the room and it's Jason. Jason.
Yes. I answer to Jason all the time.
Yeah, we do answer to our characters a lot of the time.
Often.
But your GH life, okay, you lived for a bit with Dirk Cheatwood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. You met your wife
at GH.
At GH.
Yes, she was an intern at GH.
That's amazing.
Just like
to
Bill
me.
Clinton. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke.
It's a joke.
It's a jokey joke. It's a McGoobie.
It's a McGoobie. So, yeah, it's been.
I mean, dude, we have so much we can talk about.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like it never ends.
Never ends.
It's an endless. Did I just put a T in there?
I think it's endless. Is it time for our tweet of the week?
Oh, we have a tweet of the
week?
We
have a tweet of the week.
Wait, hold on. Because I know we're good on time right
Probably.
Now. So why don't we – don't you have questions? Didn't you
– Yeah. Like,
is that what we're doing or is it tweet of the week?
You can do whatever you want, buddy. We got a tweet of the week and we got questions.
Okay, so is this a mean tweet of the week?
I figured we'd start with a nice tweet of the week.
Okay. Because
that has a little there was something that stuck it out that it stuck out for me. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. So, hold on.
What?
So because when we're on the road,
yes.
We kind of do a little mean.
Yeah, we
or not nice.
We kind of co-opted what
tweet.
Is it, Kimmel's
yes.
mean tweet.
So we jacked
because,
that
you
for
know,
sure.
Social media is a fun, scary place.
It is.
It's great that we get to interact more with the people that are because our viewers are they're profoundly loyal, which is
Absolutely.
Something that our viewers,
Amazing
our fans are unlike any other fan in any other medium because they spend what 5 days a week with us.
Yep.
There's a familiarity and we feel it when we go on the road. There's a kinship there that is unlike any other thing. On social media, they express their opinions, good and bad. And, you know,
always.
It's funny. We do when we read some of the mean ones on the road,
man.
Everyone in the room feels bad for us. And that's not what we're after.
No.
We find them funny because, you know, we're okay. In order to, if you're going to be an actor, you got to have some thick skin.
Yeah, it's fine.
Some is thicker than others. Steve's like leather. His skin's like leather.
So mine's a little
baby. Mine's more translucent and dainty.
Yeah, you're
but
pretty,
regardless,
you're pretty white.
It is still pretty thick in terms of handling insults.
But you are pretty white.
Thank you. I'm a little pale.
You're like powder, that movie Powder.
I'm the palest guy in California.
You're like,
I know. You think I'd have a vitamin D
deficiency?
Deficiency.
Guaranteed you do.
But I'm pretty happy.
100%.
What are the symptoms of vitamin D deficiencies?
87% of the population is deficient.
Well, I'm a lucky 13, I guess.
No, you're not.
Well, why would you think besides how pale I am, like what?
Everybody's deficient, dude.
Okay.
But you're pale as hell.
I don't feel deficient.
You're so white.
I feel
you're
happy.
Like a whale belly.
Well.
White.
Yeah,
you're
whale belly.
White.
Yeah, I'm aquatic. Yeah.
Do you swim?
I do.
In a dance belt?
Oh, man.
Do you like to watch grown men wrestle?
I didn't know. You know, swimmers have to shave out all the hair off their body.
Oh, so gosh.
No, so there's less drag. Anyway,
weird.
So
that
fun
just took a turn.
It just sounds fun to be that slippery. That's all I'm saying. Sounds fun. I don't think I recommend it for myself.
Your wife's calling.
Well,
get home. Let's have another baby.
I don't think I'd like the process of it, but I think it would be cool. I think it would be cool to just feel that aerodynamic.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe bald people feel that way. Maybe bald people feel that way.
Saying,
I've always wanted to shave my head because I just want to feel it, but I'm not sure I have a good shaped head. Have you ever had your head shaved?
Yes. It's not good.
Your head's not good?
No, it looks like a freaking Manchichi.
What the heck is a Manchichi? What?
Manchichi.
I don't know.
Oh, so soft and cuddly.
Oh, we got a jingle out of you.
Yeah, well, it was a jingle back in the day. It was a Manchichi. It was like Manchichi. A monkey, but my hairline was like straight across.
Wow.
It's just like, no, there's no.
There's no. There's,
it was just literally like a freaking monkey's head.
Yeah. Well, because that's the risk. You shave your head, you get people see the shape of your head.
And I don't. And if the head's fine.
Oh, your head's fine. Okay.
The shape. Yours is a little weird.
I know. It could be.
It could be.
Could be a little. Could be a little weird. Luckily, I'm so far in my mom's dad had a full head of hair. So I'm in good shape.
You're good.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx it. All right. It's the tweet of the week. Yeah.
Yep.
So, so this is from. We're only gonna give
you
the handles.
Can't say names, right?
Well, if it's a nice, I can.
Oh, it's a nice one.
Don't worry. When we have a mean one, I won't give out the name for that.
Yeah. Don't.
But this is Love Jones Love 66. So thanks for writing to us.
Yes, we appreciate.
And this is more to Steve, but I loved it so much. It sounds pretty normal off the bat. Yes, GH, you gave us J Sam everything today. That's great. The angst, the jokes, the laughs, the conversation with no interruptions. Really, you really outdid yourself. For now, next. We need some touching.
Touching?
Touching and kissing. We need some touching and kissing. So that was the part that I like.
Why did that strike you as?
Well, because like touching.
Just the word, how it was phrased?
Touching and kissing.
Touching.
Like, well, because I don't know. There's something. I love her. I love your enthusiasm, Love Jones. I love it. But like, well, because like, I'm just saying, when I watch a show, like, what's a show I like?
So, but she might be meaning like just like us actually touching. It doesn't always have to be sexual.
No, I think she meant sexual.
Did she?
Well, because I mean, touching and kissing.
Yes, I guess if you pair those
sensual
two together.
Touching.
Well, the sensual wasn't in there.
I put it in there.
You'd like to put it in.
Sensual touching.
You'd like to put it in there. Stop.
That is a little more than touching.
That. Don't go down that road.
But I'm just saying. So I don't know.
Touching,
that
may
word,
be coming.
Oh.
No.
That's more than touching, too.
No,
that
stop.
Is more than touching.
Bad.
Bad.
Bad Bradford.
So I like that tweet because it was positive, and yet it went a little further. Anytime you bring touching into the equation.
It's amazing how we happened to run into each other at the hotel in Switzerland.
That was amazing. Oh, my! It's funny. My friend Vanessa, who's on Saturday Night Live, she.
Oh, you dropped a name.
No. She's awesome, and she is. She and Janine Garofalo came to a Port Chuck show that we did.
Yes, BB Kings.
Yeah, it was awesome, and it's just nice to know that it is amazing when we find out that certain people watch General Hospital. You just don't know who watches the show, right?
Absolutely.
And so it's just fun to hear other people in our industry that have
and
to
sports
it.
Players watch
and,
a lot. Go
you
ahead.
Know, so anyway, so she was the last question I did ask GH this week. And she was the last question I got.
She was?
Yeah, and she's like, how, how on earth did they find each other? Like, I find it, you know, bizarre that they ran into each other in Switzerland, and like that's you know, she was commenting on how crazy it is that you guys ran into. So,
well, it turns out
it was fate.
That
it turns out it was you and a little bit of me.
Yeah, and a lot of bit of you.
But I think what Spinelli said made a lot of sense. He's like, well, there's 400 rooms in this hotel.
Okay.
If you guys, the odds of you two running into each other are certainly not high. That's actually how I sound on the show. But if you two actually run into each other, then that is out of my
hands. Fate.
That is freaking fate.
That's fate, man.
Freaking fate. That's oh, no, right. She said, why didn't they look surprised? That's what she said.
Oh, no.
She said, why didn't they look surprised?
The best. No,
and that's what I get. Sorry, I misquoted you, Vanessa. You said, why didn't they look surprised when they ran into each other in a hotel?
The best one.
Which I get.
That's
a completely good question. I'd be like, holy shit, Sam, what are you doing here? Hi, good to see you. Let's go to the hotel and bang.
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
This is the best story, and we can maybe end it with this or not. But so... the first day where I see her in the hallway, Kelly wasn't there.
What?
She wasn't there. So this is the greatest thing in the world. This is the best. So everyone started screenshotting the screen because my face lit up when I saw Sam, right?
And it was actually Stanley, the sound cable guy?
No. So they started posting everywhere, like, look at the love in his eyes.
Look at the
love. Sing something for me.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Okay, perfect. So that was playing in my head, and hell no!
Can you imagine just Steve's inner monologue? He's just got Elton John songs, Elton John Disney.
Well, what
songs.
Was the I want to know what love is? We did that for Port Chuck. It was awesome.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I'm like, "Where's Kelly?"
Right.
They're like, "Oh, she's not in the show."
What? They didn't write her into the show?
No, because
because
the tag was me seeing
just,
her.
It would have just been her, so they would have to pay her for a full episode to not say anything.
Exactly.
Right.
And she was in the next day. The pickup was the next day,
correct.
Right?
Right.
So I'm like—
so that's why you get that goofy-ass smile.
No, so first of all, we were trying to figure out the height.
Sure.
Right, of like my eye line.
Right.
Right? And then Dale, who's one of our great, great camera guys. So I went over and got a coffee stirrer. And I took some orange tape,
We
use marks for.
Yeah.
I put it like perpendicular on his camera.
Right.
So all it was basically an orange popsicle stick.
That's amazing.
That he was, and the camera was moving.
Right.
So I wanted something that was
right that you could fix
that I could
fix on.
Fixate
on.
And it's so funny because everybody was put on Twitter. Look at how.
Right.
I was looking at her.
It
was a coffee stirrer. There was tape on it. Is that amazing?
Testament to your acting ability, Steve. Your affinity for the color orange, really.
I am orange.
That's right.
I'm orange.
Like attracts like.
like attracts like. And that's why
when
I went to prison with Michael and that story, I said, guys, you can't put me in orange.
Oh, right.
Because nobody would see me.
I'll just blend.
Did you see my white eyes?
That's amazing.
See see the white of my eyes? Nobody would see me. I'm orange.
Oh, is that why they gave you navy blue?
Blue, gray.
Oh, yeah. Bring out my eyes. That's really what it was about. You don't care about the orange. You just like make sure
Who wants to be in an orange jumpsuit? And I'm orange.
Make sure my eyes pop.
All right,
make sure my eyes pop.
That was great, though. That's
a great
question.
That is a great story.
But it's a funny story, right?
But so did you forget to be surprised? Like, how do they tell you to play it? Like, why wouldn't you be surprised to see? You both would be equally surprised to see each other.
Yeah, I guess
right?
It was bad acting.
Well, or just
that was a bad choice, I guess.
Nobody talked about it.
Now that you bring it up.
Right. So
now that Vanessa brought it up.
Yeah, thanks, Vanessa.
Thanks a lot. Just freaking put a spotlight on my horrible acting choice.
Oh, you're just so enamored with each other that you didn't think to be surprised.
That's what I had. Well,
like,
I just
like a what? What?
Maybe if I made a noise of like huh? What? That's not very Jason like though.
Yeah.
Huh? stupid freaking caveman. Caveman Jason.
Caveman Jason. All right. So we got a couple questions.
Yeah, buddy.
So I put this kind of innocuous Facebook post up, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago saying, if you could ask me and Steve Burton anything, what would it be? It's for a project coming up. This is the project. Hi, we're doing a podcast. Okay, so we got some questions. I pulled a couple questions.
And we're going to wrap it up with this, right? We're
going to
finish
so.
With these questions.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Yeah, because we're excited. All right, so this is from Beth Ann Harrington. We know BA.
We know Beth Ann. Yeah.
And
she's the woman.
So, Steve, I've seen these before. Steve hasn't, which is more fun for me. So I know you're both great husbands and dads, we hope. But are you great roommates? What are Cherie and Kira's pet peeves?
Oh, gosh.
When it comes
first
to
of all, we haven't even talked about our families.
Well, we have families.
Yeah,
we're lucky.
We do have great wives
we
and great, great kids.
Great wives and great kids.
Amazing.
And I'm sure they'll come up
a lot.
Yeah,
because
we like to talk about them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My wife.
Pet peeves.
I love my wife. Because
good.
She's very patient with me.
Very patient.
So, I'm messy.
I don't pick
up after myself.
You're not as bad as some of the guys in the bus.
Yeah, I know. The bus was different, though, because you and I...
That was a health thing.
That was just like a hazmat suit. Yeah, right. A freaking hazmat suit by day three.
Right.
So, with Cherie, it's I just don't pick up after myself.
Sure.
You know, she goes, how does it not get... Why can't you just pick this up and put it over here?
It seems
so easy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's like, honey, I just don't... I'm not wired that way.
Sure.
And then I said... What can I buy you? I said, there's everyone has a price. If you never bring it up again,
right?
How much?
Right.
That's, I try to flip it. Right.
Right.
I'm like, I know you have a price. What is it?
Right.
What do you want?
Right.
For you, this is negotiating.
Sure.
For you never to bring it up again.
Never to bring it up again.
And that for it not to bother you.
Right.
Right, that's the main thing. Not to bother you anymore.
How do I? Yeah, I'm going to pay for your feelings.
What do you want?
Right,
I'll buy you anything you want.
Did it work?
You can't buy me.
You can't.
I'm like, damn it!
That's amazing.
I know. I tried to.
That's a good tactic.
Yeah. Sometimes it works for other things.
Right. See, my problem is I'm not a multitasker. Right.
Yeah.
Like I think. Some people will say it's, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, that kind of thing. Like,
sure.
guys can't multitask. But it's something I've tried to get better at, and I just can't. But also, in that same thing means that I don't – when someone's telling me something, I might remember the first thing but not the second, third, or fourth because I'm thinking of that first thing.
Yeah.
So my wife tells me things all the time, and I don't remember them. And so she thinks I'm not listening.
It's called Alzheimer's.
Maybe.
That's not a joking matter.
No, it's not. We're doing a great story on it on GH
100%,
right now. 100%.
Yes.
Go Max Gale.
Yes.
But I need to carry on a note, like a tablet around my neck.
Poor
or something.
Guy.
I need, like, because, and I can understand how frustrating it is. Like, if you tell someone something, you expect them to remember.
Because you'd yell at your kids if they didn't.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Right. So that I would say that is Kira's pet peeve with me is that she thinks I don't listen, and I.
Well, we don't.
I'm not great at it.
You're good. You're pretty good, dude.
Well,
you're pretty good
compared.
You're pretty. You're pretty aware of things.
Aware of things.
No, I'm just saying you're. You know, look.
Sure.
I've been married almost 20 years, so you have to be.
Sure.
You have to be. Just aware of.
Well, yeah. You have to. They have to know that you're thinking about them, right?
Yeah. I mean. It's just, you know, and you're very aware of that stuff. So
I try anyway. To be. I can always get better.
Absolutely. There's All always right. room for improvement with you.
Always. Well, thankfully, the ceiling is low. Maureen sure. Montana Toth asks this. I just thought this was funny because it's about me hurting myself. When you were in Niagara Falls, you sustained a head injury and I didn't get photos with you.
Oh, that's funny.
I wonder if you and Steve could come back so we could take some pics. So back when poor Chuck was touring, we played Niagara Falls one night and it was a beautiful old theater. It was
amazing.
Like black with gold gilded stage.
Oh, dude,
it was incredible.
It was stunning. Coolest theater we've ever been in.
Oh, awesome.
Amazing.
Beautiful. It was during our encore. I think it was Sweet Home Alabama.
No.
Was it Jesse's Girl or Sweet Home Alabama? It was one of the two.
It was Jesse's Girl.
Okay. And then Sweet Home Alabama was the one after. I forget which one. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It was during an encore. They had these big speakers that were at the front of the stage, and they looked really fun to climb on.
Yeah.
Super fun to climb on. Like, because you got a little bit further towards the crowd than the stage was.
Yeah.
Right? It felt like you were kind of – like, it just felt like you were being festive, right?
Sure.
So I was like, I'm going to climb on that speaker. I'm going to climb – that there speaker, I'm going to climb on.
You've never climbed anything in your life.
I know. It was going to be the first thing, and that's why I was so excited. So I get onto the speaker – and then I had a lot of fun on the speaker. And then rather than just stepping gingerly off the speaker, I wanted to jump off the speaker back onto the stage because that felt more fun.
Sure.
What I didn't realize is that there was a speaker hanging right above that speaker. Right. So I jumped straight into a speaker, which I hit the top of my head on, and then my head proceeded to bleed.
Yeah, excessively.
A lot. Massive. Remember Head Wound Harry from Saturday Night Live? Yeah, it was like Massive Head Wound Harry. Maybe that was In Living Color. Doesn't matter. But I was
Head Detective.
I love that. Oh, with the little shoes. Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. But I had a massive head wound, and I started bleeding from.
So what was amazing, because obviously you jumped up and hit your head and cut it open, and you're on the ground holding your head. Like,
and then the EMTs came.
Like, you were like, I've fallen. I can't get up. Well, my head.
I've never bled from my head before. Head. It felt like a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Okay, thank you.
Because you were on the ground, and we were still singing. So here's the crazy part was
– Oh, yeah.
Was Brian, who's our keyboard guy.
Right.
Keyboard guy. I didn't even
That's
know
the official term, keyboard guy.
Keyboard guy, who's an amazing singer also.
Absolutely. Great hair.
So we're you know, singing and – Well, I'm not really singing, but
you're doing your best, honey.
I was doing my best.
Just doing your best.
So we're singing and you're down, and we're like, "What the heck?" But we had to keep singing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
the show must go on.
Show must go on in that.
So Brian's like, yeah, he's playing the keyboards and just kind of looking at me, and I'm like, "Get up here."
That's right.
Get up here.
That's right.
So to sing your part.
Oh, right. Because I was gone. I was bleeding in the back.
You're bleeding. You're dying.
Right.
But we had to finish Jesse's Girl.
You had to.
We had to.
You had to.
I mean, I'm sorry, dude. If you would have died,
it's okay.
I would have felt bad, and I would have thought about you.
But at least Jesse's Girl would have been sung.
Jesse's Girl has to be sung.
Why don't you start Jesse's Girl?
You can't stop.
You can't stop.
It's amazing.
It's like quitting mid-coitus. It's just not. You can't do it.
So we finished.
To completion. And you finished Jesse's Girl to completion.
Completion.
There you go.
And you were still alive.
Yes.
You were in the back.
A couple pints down, but I was good.
You were in the back on the ground outside. The EMTs were all
around. What was great,
there
was snow there, so it looked very dramatic because there was blood in the snow.
Man, oh, man, it was like a murder scene.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And you were okay. Do you have a scar?
I don't know. God, that's maybe why I shouldn't shave my head.
There you go.
There you go. There's an official reason not to shave my head. Yeah. Well, thank you, Maureen, for the questions. Thank you, Beth Ann. Thank you for the tweet. Thank you, everybody.
You guys
for listening
are awesome.
To the first episode. Be sure to visit stonecoldandthejackal.com.
Absolutely.
For tour dates and information. Thanks to my college roommate Avi and his band David Kirby for the use of their song "You Broke It, You Bought It." You can find it at davidkirby.bandcamp.com. And
we're plugging people now?
Use their song. We got to plug them, you know.
Absolutely.
It was one of my favorites.
It was fun, buddy. This was a good time. Can't wait till the next episode.
It's
episode
be
two.
Good. Only up from here, buddy.
That's right. Have a great day.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.